I'll invite you to turn with me to God's Word. Our major portion of Scripture this morning will be from Luke chapter 2, well known to us as the Christmas story. And while you're finding that, I'll read just a few words from Isaiah chapter 7. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of Israel," or house of David, "is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then Luke chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the angels said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely know the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we've been walking through the Old Testament, and we've been looking at that promise that God made. He said it to the devil, disguised as a serpent. He said, "The seed of the woman will come, and he will crush your head." We've seen together how Adam and Eve looked so forward to that, that even when Cain was born, she named him thus because she thought, "This is the man who will deliver us from all of our difficulties." But he wasn't the man. And then for another 4,000 years. Think about that. I know sometimes we're like 2,000 years, like Jesus hasn't returned. It was 4,000 years that the people of God, that the seed of the woman, plural, sang about the seed of the woman, singular and emphatic, oh come, Emmanuel. How long before the Messiah would come? Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. 4,000 years, and then the sign appears. A virgin has a child, and they call his name Emmanuel, God with us. There's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that's when you have a baby, and then you wrap it so that the baby's nice and tight and safe and warm. And you'll find that baby in the lowly place of Bethlehem, in a lowlier place in a cattle stall, and an even more humiliating place in a manger. But he's here. God has forsaken all the world's pomp and circumstance. He said enough with all the glory of the things of the world. The child finally has come. There's still 33 years to go. There's still 33 years of work left to do for this little child. Finally, after 400 years after Malachi, Jesus has come. 700 years after Isaiah, 4,000 years after Adam and Eve, the Son is given. And They called his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The Father sends the promised seed. And we'll see then the conflict, and then we will see our comfort. You know, things seem to be going pretty well after Abraham had taken Isaac, and we heard there that the Lord said, no, it's not Isaac. Abraham, you do not have to offer your son. And Isaac, the Lord will provide. Things seem to be moving well, but we have this problem. We have this difficulty of the conflict, the enmity, the sin, that not only comes from the outside against the church, but also from within the church. In Israel, the seed of the woman is constantly struggling with that, with faith and faithfulness. So that when Abraham's people finally get out of the conflict in Egypt, where the devil thinks if I can just mix the men of Egypt with the women of Israel, we can obliterate the seed of the woman, mixing them so that they will no longer come pure, that perhaps then that seed won't come. And though he failed mightily, that slave mentality, that cowardice seems to stay with Israel again and again and again appearing, showing its ugly head. So that we stand with Israel on the banks of the Jordan. Moses goes on to glory. Joshua leads them. The Lord is with them. But as we get into the days of the judges, again and again, they forget that God is with them. That the land belongs to God and he's going to give it to them. And that the Messiah is going to come. And judges come and judges go. And then Samuel comes and he's getting ready to go the way of the fathers. And he's going to die and his sons are a mess. Please give us a king, they say. Please give us a king. Not because we want to live according to the word of God. Not because we want to have a righteous man who will lead us in righteousness. A blessed man who will lead us in the way of blessing. But then we can be like the other nations too. We can be relevant. We can be cool. We can say, hey, we got a king just like you have a king. And they got their king. We saw that together, that principle of the secondborns. So that it's not Cain, it's Abel. And when Abel dies, it's Seth. It's not Ishmael, Abram's oldest son, but it's Isaac. It's not Esau, but it's Jacob. And it's not the oldest, but the youngest of the sons of Jesse. And God had his eye on him. And he took him out from taking care of the flocks. We saw last week that the shepherd, Almighty God, the Lord is our shepherd, takes the one who wrote, the Lord is our shepherd, and he causes him then to be the next great shepherd of the sheep, following in that great tradition of Moses, looking at David, and then coming to Jesus Christ, the shepherd who will become the Lamb of God. And once again, things look pretty good. David was a conqueror. David was a man of the, well, God says, the man after my own heart. He was a servant. And yet David, even after receiving the promises of God, though he wanted to build God a house, God says, no, David, I will build your house. I will take care of you. And that from your house will come one who will rule not only my house, but will rule the world. Yet David fell into sin. David needed a Savior. David needed to write, the Lord says to my Lord, God Almighty the Father says to my Son, who is my Master, sit at my right hand. And then things move to a crescendo, and we have the marvel of Solomon. And Solomon, in all his glory, has had to go through the difficulty of the sword that never departed from David's house. He had to go through all the weird sadness and a tragic ending of Absalom. But Solomon now is king, and for 40 years Israel is a world power. They are dominant on the scene. They are an economic powerhouse. And the house of the Lord gets built. And the ark now has a place in the Holy of Holies. Those were great days. Those were marvelous days. But then Solomon fell and bent the knee to the foreign gods of his wives. And then the kingdom is split. And then we have the downward spiral of Israel into exile to never return, but two tribes, Judah. God will keep his promise to David from the tribe of Judah, and Judah together with Benjamin are spared. But then in those days when Ahaz reigned, there too it was beginning to be a mess. God said, if your sons, David, keep my covenant, I will be with them. But if not, I will discipline them. I will take care of them. I will punish them. Ahaziah is getting ready to go fight. He's in Jerusalem. And God comes to him and says, look, I'll give you a sign. What do you want? I'll go with you. God reaches out to wicked Ahaz, who says, don't bother, Lord. I don't need anything from you. And then God, through Isaiah, says, you're going to continue to weary me with your nonsense? You're going to get a sign. And a virgin will conceive, and she will bear a child, and his name will be Emmanuel. Now, we think there's a twofold fulfillment of that in that day, the word virgin can mean maiden. So a young girl got married and had that son. But then we have that application in Matthew that this now is the son that's lying in a manger in a place called Bethlehem. And why are we in Bethlehem? Because the conflict continues to move. It continues to go forward. And the reason we need a king is not so that we can have some geopolitical domination by the Son of God on this earth. Beloved, you and I need salvation. You and I need someone who will come and lead us out of the kingdom of darkness. We need a Davidic conqueror who will crush our greatest enemy, which is Satan and sin and death and hell. I mean, everything does look a mess. It's so bad that when Isaiah looks forward into the days of Jesus, he doesn't say that Jesus comes as a rod out of the house of David, but out of the stump of Jesse, a stump among so many other stumps of the great empires of the ancient Near East. Babylon is God, the Medes and Persians, they're gone, the Assyrians, they're gone, the Syrians are gone, the Philistines are gone, the Canaanites, they're all gone, and now some Italian, some Latin, Caesar, the Latin word for king, he rules. I mean, this man is wicked and beyond, so he calls his name Augustus. He makes himself God. He starts a whole cult of the God Emperor. And though he thinks he rules all the world, and though it looks as if to us that he in fact is ruling over the house of David, and then when you add to that, Esau's half-son, Herod, is sitting on the throne of Jerusalem. Yeah, it looks like there is a stump, but stop for a minute and look. Because the promise is still continuing. Remember we saw that last week? That God said, I will keep the promise no matter what, David. Your sons are going to break the covenant. Your sons are going to fall away. Nobody knows who the house of David is anymore. Oh yeah, the Jewish scribes and such kept that ancestry alive so that we have it in Luke and we have it in Matthew. God always kept the seed alive through Adam, through Isaac, through David. He had never forgotten, but the world did, and Israel certainly did. Israel was going through a brutal, horrible time. Some guy in Rome is telling us we got to get up and we've got to move and we've got to be registered. It was humiliating. And why were they having to go to be registered? So that they could get taxed. They were going to be paying tax to a foreign government, to a king who thought he was a foreign god. The people walking in darkness need a great light, beloved. We need something great, something glorious. And yet Almighty God in his providence moves Caesar Augustus so that he makes a decree that all the world should be enrolled so that Joseph and Mary end up where? In Bethlehem. Why in Bethlehem? The children probably know. Because the prophet said, a little town of Bethlehem. That's the place where David was from. Do you know what Bethlehem means? It means Beth, house, Lechem, bread. It was the house of bread. And in the days when Elimelech and Naomi walked on the earth, God had brought famine, so there was no bread in the house of bread. Did they say, no, we will hold on to the Lord, we will trust and obey? No, they got up and they went to Moab. They meant it for evil. Elimelech means my God is king. Said, no, my God is not king. I'm going to go to Moab. He dies there. The two boys die there, but not before those two boys have taken a girl, and one of those girls is named Ruth. And they go back to Bethlehem. Why? Because God had visited Bethlehem again, and there was bread there again. And then Ruth meets Boaz, and they come together, and they fall in love, and they make love. And they have a child, Obed, the servant. And from him will come Jesse, the one who is the stump now. And from him will come David, born in Bethlehem. Jerusalem is the city of God, but Bethlehem is the city of David. Jerusalem is the city of Solomon, the Prince of Peace. Bethlehem is the place of the man after God's own heart, a servant. And into that place, then, God sends the living bread. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the bread of life. Isn't that what Jesus said, that he is the manna from heaven? If you feed on him, you'll never want, and you'll never hunger again. And a virgin shall conceive, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a child, Emmanuel, laying in a manger in Bethlehem, in a little place that nobody really knows, except perhaps some of the prophets and some of the rabbis, not in Rome and not in Jerusalem, because Jesus Christ has not come to be a world revolutionary. He's come to be a servant. Jesus said that. I have come to serve, not to be served. And already at the very beginning of his existence as the Son of Man, the Son of God then lays all of it away and comes in that humiliating state. Why? Because he represents you and me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. In Bethlehem, the house of bread, the bread of life, because there's no room in the world for him. And when he gets to Bethlehem, there's no room in the inn for him. Now, we can get into the tragedy of that, and certainly it is. We can get into the irony of that. How is it that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by whom all things were created, that there's no place for him to be born? But there is a place for him to be born. So it's either in a grotto, which is like little caves that were just outside of Bethlehem, where shepherds then would keep their sheep and other cattle while they slept in the inn, or travelers walking through. Or there was actually then a courtyard where there was a cattle stall and a manger there. There is a place there for Jesus, but not in the world. And not in the inn. By God's will and by God's providence, that, my son, is where you are going to be born. And Jesus says, okay, not my will, but your will be done. Not the will of Israel. Not our will for pomp and for fantastic births and for fanfares and lighting fires on the mountains. The Son of God is here. The Son of David is here. Emmanuel is here, but he's in Bethlehem. Child, quiet, laying there in his mother's arms. The man who is watching over the birth isn't actually his biological father, but has been willing to step in, believing God at his word, believing what the angel has said. That boy is the Son of God, and he shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Mary didn't have to go with Joseph, beloved. They weren't married yet. But Mary went with Joseph, we think, just simply to finally to get out of Nazareth, where everybody would have been talking about. She's great with child. Don't forget that. You couldn't hide it anymore. And Joseph has taken this woman who is great with child, and everybody figures, well, he must have been with her. And they keep it quiet, and they protect reputation, and they go to Bethlehem. All in the Father's hand, all in his way. And they lay him in a manger because he's come to resolve the conflict. He's come into the conflict. Never forget that. When Jesus came, it didn't get rid of the conflict. It actually stirred the conflict up, because you know who else is in Bethlehem watching all of this stuff? If Revelation 12 is true, and it is, the devil. The devil's looking at this birth. The devil's looking at the Son of God laying there in a manger, and there's nothing he can do about it. Later on, he's going to try to get Herod all rattled and riled up. But the Heavenly Father will make sure that Joseph, his earthly father, will take him away to Egypt. And again, the prophecy will be fulfilled. And you see the providence of God. For Jesus now, who is putting his life in the hands of two human beings, and his life into the hands of the Father. What the children sang this morning couldn't be more true. Jesus could sing. Children, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Think about it. Jesus, trusting and obeying. The light bursting into the darkness. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. He came into the world and the world did not want him. But he is true God and true man, our beautiful Savior, our morning star. And there's a sign. The sign has been given. But now a sign is going to be given to the shepherds who will be comforted, that we may be comforted. There's shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by nights. Apparently they lived there as well, we read. And an angel of the Lord appears with all the heavenly glory shining around him. And what do they do? They're terrified. They're afraid, greatly sore afraid, as the older versions have it. Because when you live in the world of conflict and you know you're conflicted in your own sin as well, and you see the pure glory and the beauty of angels and the glory of heaven and the glory of God shining all around you, you are scared. How do I, wicked sinner, stand before this great and beautiful life? And then what is the glad tiding? It isn't, first of all, for unto you a child is born. It is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you realize when you and I pass on, if we pass on in Jesus Christ, and we stand before the glory of God, Jesus said to John in the island of Patmos, don't be afraid. But Father in heaven, there's enmity between you and us. We know that we're born as part of the seed of the serpent. He calls us out of there and makes us a seed of the woman by faith, which we hope to hear this afternoon or this evening. But the reality is that that is who we are. And then he says, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, the gospel that will come to all people. Adam and Eve, I know you've fallen into sin. I know that in that day you will surely die. I know that you can't stand naked before each other. I know that you're hiding from me. Adam, where are you? Did you eat of that fruit? Eve, what have you done? Satan, I'm going to crush your head. Adam and Eve, you're going to get together and you're going to have children. And Eve, ultimately, one day, one of your children is going to be the Savior of the world. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Abraham, get up and take your son, your beloved son, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Isaac, I want you to go. Dad, who is going to provide the offering? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. They go up, and Isaac is laying there, tied up. The fire is ready. Abraham comes ready to bring that knife down. Behold, don't be afraid, Abraham. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. Don't kill your son Isaac. Because Abraham, I am going to, through him, bring a blessing to the whole world. He will be a blessing of redemption, but he will be a blessing of domination. For unto us a child is born. And to us a son is given. Oh, Father, David says, I want to build you a house. David, there's still more fighting to do. There's blood on your hands and there's more blood to come. But I will build you a house. And I know, David, that your sons are going to fall away. I'm going to have to discipline them. I am going to go so far as to almost remove them from the face of the earth. But though they forget, I will not forget. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. For to you born in the city of David, this day is one who is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Beloved, this is our story. This is the good news. This is the gospel message. And that's all we have to tell the world. Don't be afraid. God has sent a Savior. Are you laying on that deathbed with cancer? Have you received that horrible notification? Are you all alone? Are you going through economic worry and frustration and disaster? Are you worried about keeping your job? Have you been pining and praying and crying out to God over your children? Don't be afraid. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds look up. And as they look up, they see not a choir of angels. It's a multitude of the heavenly host. You know what a host is? It's an army. a multitude, more angels than you can count, an army of angels singing what? Peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. When's the last time you heard an army say that and proclaim that? And then the shepherds know that it's true, and they're not afraid. And they say, we got to get up, and we got to go. And on their way in, they're telling people, where are you going? We're going to Bethlehem. Why? We're going to come and adore the Savior. God rest ye merry gentlemen. It's quite something to call the shepherds. But these are the ones that God has decided to witness. And what's the sign? A child in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, who is the fulfillment of the sign given to Ahaz. And then what are we going to do this evening? We're going to see a baptism. Is what? The sign that the child was born and that he was given unto a complete remission of all our sins. Now when the shepherds get there, they tell Mary and Joseph about everything that has happened. They stay there for a while, but they don't stay there forever, do they? They go home. They go back to their lives. By the way, I always wondered, who was taking care of the flock? I don't know the words that we sang together, that there was tempest and winds and all of that's completely true. But it's music and it's Christmas. You could take a little drama with it. But who was taking care of the flock? You ever think about that? Many think it was the angels. But the angels made sure that when they got back, their flocks were still there. But don't miss it. They went back to work. Their lives were inalterably changed forever. They had seen the Emmanuel. They had seen Jesus. They had seen Christ, the Lord, the prophet, the priest, and the king laying in the manger. The Lord, the one who is master, who rules over everything. But they go home because there's 33 years of work yet. Jesus is going to have to go to the river and be baptized. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. To the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And he's going to walk into the conflict. And sadly, the worst of the conflict comes from the leadership of his own. But he'll do miracles and he will preach and he will do amazing things as the prophet. He will teach in ways that we've never heard before. People are amazed. As the priest, he will give his own life as the Lamb of God, as a shepherd offers his best lamb. In order to be the king, to bring an end to the domination of sin, death, and hell, and bring the kingdom back to Almighty God. He has to leave the manger, and he has to leave Bethlehem, the house of bread, and he needs to go to Jerusalem, and he'll be booted out of there. He'll go to Gethsemane, and he'll struggle, and he'll wrestle, and then he'll go to the cross, to Golgotha, to Calvary, to the accursed cross, so that the bread of life for us will become the bread of life. He will die on the cross for our sins. You may not leave Jesus in the manger, but you have to leave with the shepherds and get back to your life. Because as they for 4,000 years cried, O come, Emmanuel, so we cry now, O come, Emmanuel. Yes, the child has been born and he's been given. And he is God with us. And through the Holy Spirit, you as the church now are God with us on this earth. But now with the shepherds, we need to go out into that world and tell them all that we have seen. Isn't your life inalterably changed now? You who know Jesus Christ, can you not say that we were, but now we are something new? And this is the marvel and the beauty of the advent of Christmas. Even the world puts up lights and trees. They want to celebrate something, something to break the dreary times of winter, something to bring some joy to their miserable lives. And it's never enough because they need what we have. A child born in Bethlehem, bread of heaven. When Jesus resurrects, the women cannot stay at the tomb. They got to go tell the disciples. When Mary Magdalene sees Jesus and holds on, he says, you can't keep holding on to me. You got to go. Don't keep me down, Jesus says. I must go to heaven. But you go therefore into all the world and teach them all that I have commanded you. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you, even to the end of the age. What a story, eh? God never forget what he told the serpent. The seed of the woman will come and crush you. Don't worry, Adam and Eve. I know Abel's dead, but there's Seth. Abraham, don't be concerned. I know you had to send Ishmael away. Here's Isaac. Through him there will be blessing. David, I will build your house. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Oh, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from him. And a virgin will conceive, and they will call his name Emmanuel, and you will see the virgin has a child in Bethlehem laying in a manger. Do you believe? Then walk out and go to Golgotha. Walk out with the shepherds and tell them everything you have heard until Jesus calls you home or until Jesus comes again. We still have another 2,000 years to get to 4,000. But still, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And soon and very soon, we are all going to see the King. It is so. Thus says the Lord. Blessed Christmas, beloved. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this incredible story. Help our unbelief. Let us grow in grace and knowledge. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. And let us, Father, with joy in our hearts, tell the world, Jesus has come. Jesus has lived and died and lives again, and he's coming again. And he will bring the kingdom that has no end. Gloria in excelsis Deo. In Jesus' name, amen.